This is the national radio broadcast of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American leader.
The people is past tense. The people were once one community, united, all united together on this earth. Is that true? Did that ever exist? So really, it's shaping up now, right? You're starting to have faith in that in these late times in the United States of America. The year 2008, we're starting to believe that. But God said it 14,000 plus years ago that to Muhammad, the prophet, peace be on him, that the people were once one community. كان الناس أمة واحدة. But Arabs understand Arabic language better than non-Arab. So the scholars, the students and scholars of the Quran and Muhammad's life, prayers and peace be upon him, they understand that to be speaking to the future more so than to the past. Though it uses a past tense verb, كان. كان الناس أمة واحدة. And Allah also says in the Quran, Antum, you, Kuntum, pardon me, Kuntum, you were, past tense, Kuntum khaira ummatan ukhrijat linnas, you were the best community evolved for the good of mankind, all people. Allah says that in the Quran. He said, "Where? When? 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 When?" So all the ummah that Muhammad, the Prophet, our leader, the last Prophet, established in Medina. That is the ummah. Where? Was it destroyed? It was not destroyed. It lived and prospered. So why is the expression "were"? You were the best community. It's speaking to the future. When you look at the Muslim population on earth today, would you say Muslims are the best community? The behavior doesn't say that. A surviving few, or minority of them, still is the picture of the best community evolved for the good of all mankind. And along with others, we're not excluding others who have also had a remnant, I believe the Bible says, huh? A remnant will be saved, I think. Yes. So there's a remnant of them like there's a remnant of us. But for the majority, for the publics, for our publics, we can't say that's true. We're in the worst condition. We're in the worst condition we've ever been in. This didn't just happen all of a sudden. I remember the organization that devotes itself to the propagation of Islam, but mainly to reviving the Muslim following for Islam throughout the world. They were in the Tablighi Society. They were in Chicago, and they contacted me. They knew how to reach me. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was so well known, they knew how to find this organization, and they found me. And I was not a leader at the time. And they said, "You're the son of Elijah Muhammad. We want to invite you to go on out with us for Muslim's child, a boy, about 13 or 14, how to read Al-Fatiha." I'm thinking that all of them knew Al-Fatiha and well acquainted with the Quran and at least knew how to make their prayers and everything. That was not true. And I'm talking about almost 35 or 40 years ago. And now look at what the problems are for all of us. Keeping our families, keeping our children from going, being lost to the world or to the streets. That's a problem for all of us. So we are not in that picture anymore. the best community. So actually, that saying in the Quran also speaks to the future. It's something for us to work for, something for us to strive for and accomplish. It was not accomplished in the past. Look at the criticism we find in the Quran of the Arabs. And where was Muhammad the Prophet at that time? He was among the Arabs. So actually, even in his time, it was the few who were exceptional and in the model life that Allah wants for us. But the many, even of the Arabs, they were not. They were following upon faith, but they had not insight into the teachings to know the strategy for helping humanity on this planet Earth that's revealed in the Quran and demonstrated in the life of Muhammad the Prophet. But we're living in the best time ever. I got notes here. And it's for a more formal setting than this. I'm going to put them right back in my pocket. Yes, we're living in the best time ever right now. Best time ever. Never have the populations of the planet Earth witnessed a time like this, when Muslims and Christians, leaders from the Vatican and leaders from the sacred precincts of Mecca are meeting together and talking peace and talking tolerance and cooperation for the betterment of the people on this planet Earth. That never happened before. We had kind leaders from Christians, we know that. It was a kind leader in Africa, Ethiopia, land of the Habashi, that welcomed the persecuted followers of the Prophet Muhammad, and protected them, gave them asylum there, political asylum there, and protected them from the Meccans, who pursued them and demanded that the leader, Christian leader, turn their citizens over to them so they could take them back to their country and punish them. And that Christian refused to turn the Muslims over to that group of Arabs who were pagans, not Muslims, you know. And that is a beginning of good relations for Muslims with Christians, Christian ruler. Mm-hmm. So, now, when we really think, when we are reading the Quran, you know, the great philosophers of the time of the great philosophers of the Greeks and others, even before the Greeks, the great philosophers, they were thinkers, and they thought of themselves as thinkers. And one of them said, "I think, therefore I am. I think, therefore I am." So, the Quran came to Muhammad the Prophet, and in the Quran, Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, as a male, is called a thinker. And it means a male. Dhakir, dhakir. And men are still thinkers more than women are thinkers. But the same Quran that recognized the identity of the human life as a thinker also acknowledges that women are also thinkers. But it points to man as being typical of that nature, to think and think about things. Well, sisters, I've just been in the house when you were raising your children. And I didn't have time to think, just listening to you and the children. I had to get out of the house where I could go somewhere and think. So I can see men being more the thinker than the females. I can see that, you know. And not only Jesus Christ, but then all of us. In the Quran, the male is called dhakir, thinker. If you read the Quran as a thinker, you will know your religion much better. But if you read the Quran just as a reader, person reading a piece of material, you may never see the beauty and the depth of your religion. When you read it as a thinker, you come to see the closeness for the Abrahamic religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Yesterday was a beautiful day to support all of us who want to be together with our brothers and sisters of other faiths. Want to be together with them in the human spirit. Want to be together with them in the human aspirations, so that we can have a better world for all human beings. You will see, after reading the Quran as a thinker, you will see that our speakers came from our place, from the Muslim place. And our Muslims came from their place, from the Christian, from the place of the other faith. We share one place in common, that's what I'm saying. We share one important place in common. The scripture, the Bible says, they'll be looking for Christ Jesus. And some will say, he's in the sacred chambers, I believe. The sacred chambers. He won't be there. And they'll say, oh, he's in the mountain. He won't be there. And it goes to say that he will be in the heart of the earth. In the heart of the earth. What is central for the human temple that God builds, not that we build, not that the nation of Islam on the Quran relied on Muhammad build necessarily, or any other religious house that you have in different religion. And you notice the term temple is even used by people that are not of the people of the book, Buddhists, Hindus. It's temple. The Masons, they use the term temple also. Shrine of Masons. Temple comes from what? Time, doesn't it? Time. Tempo. Time. So, so God has put human life on this earth to come to where he wants it to come to the best condition for mankind. He put us on this earth for that destiny. And God has a time clock. Man didn't make it. We have our time, our calendars and our time clocks. But God has a time clock too. And he has put life on earth so that it progresses, grows, G-R-O-W-S, grows, progresses. And no matter what stands in the way of progress for the life he has formed and put, in this earth, it will not stop the growth. It will always overcome the blocks, pass over the barriers, defeat all obstacles in its way. Because God created it, His will is in it, and it can't fail. The life He creates. God says, wait until God comes with His clock. This is Quran. Allah says, wait until Allah comes with His clock. So there are community dynamics at work, naturally at work. It's an activity and a process that man didn't make or create. It's part of the makeup of human nature. And nothing can prevent it from succeeding. Times come and it looks so gloomy and foreboding for human nature, for the life we want on this planet Earth. But over and over again, man overcomes it, the community that is, of human beings overcome it, to keep progressing, to progress further. I believe we're living in the time for the conclusion of the great issues of prophecy or scripture. We're living in the day of the conclusion. Never before have the human beings on this planet Earth been all connected all around the world. And we are being connected in the most serious ways now. And that is economically. We are being connected economically, and therefore we have to be connected politically. Time is gone for one nation to be operating independently. No, it has to operate in concert with other world leaders and other societies around the world. There has to be agreement, there has to be acceptance, inclusion, recognition of others' rights, just as you recognize your own right. Others' political rights. We're trying to give the world democracy. And no one nation should give other nations its plan, its political idea. All of us should be free, all nations should be free to choose for themselves what will be their political idea. We want justice. Justice is more important than American democracy. Thank you. And the time is here for that. And we have our dear President George Bush, who I think is justifying his way of handling things at home and abroad, on the belief that he can't represent the American people anymore, listening to them. That we have degenerated so much as a people, given our moral nature that we see in the public, in the display, public display, on the streets, TV, in the entertainment culture, etc. And he's registering all that. And I guess he said they don't qualify anymore. So I have to protect their interests my way and on my own. I believe that's the conclusion he's come to. This was the second time, I think. Yeah, it was his second term when he was being elected for the second term. A reporter approached him, and he was walking perhaps to the airplane. I'm not sure whether to the airplane. I think he was leaving the White House, not coming back. He could have been coming, returning. I can't recall right now. But that picture comes to my mind right now, and I'm going to make a few comments on it. And he had a little dog, about the size of a chihuahua. And while he was giving attention to the reporter, the little dog, woof, 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 he said, wait, you'll get your turn. And I think he was speaking to the American population. But getting back to the point, I feel for sure that we are living in the time of the conclusion of the great issues of human rights. That we find addressed in the scripture. Did you know the scripture is all about human rights? God created a human being. And he created the human being for the most excellent life. No other life existing is more excellent than the human being in the model presented by God. Seen in Jesus Christ, and we see him in Muhammad. Christians ought to be Christ-like. They ought to follow Christ's model of human life on this earth. And Muhammad didn't come bringing something new or different. He came plowing the same field that Christ Jesus plowed before him, the gardener. And God says of him in the Quran that you will certainly find in him, Muhammad, meaning in him, an excellent model, uswatan hasana, an excellent model for any, didn't say for Muslims only, didn't even say Muslim, for any who believes in God, who have faith in God in the last day. Which means, again, stating it again, for any who believes in God, puts a trust in God, and believes in being accountable to that God. That's what the last day means. That you also believe in being accountable to that God for how you live on this earth, for how you live your life. That's the meaning. So he's a model for any of us. And then Allah also said, that he is a basharum. Basharum means a human model that has same nature as all of the human beings, that errs and repents, or errs and have to repent, etc. Same nature, moral person, not angel, not God, not a divine, moral person. But he is a moral person just like you are. And what makes us model, the word has in it a reference to that you have feelings. Basharum, you are basharum, you have feelings. So not only is he a model subject to the same limitations and hurt that you may have, but he is also with you the same as you when it comes to human feelings. Becharon, the outer surface of this flesh that we feel. You know, you go down deep enough, you might not even feel anything. Yes. So it says, Becharon mithlukum, a mortal person like you are, mithlukum, like you are. So God didn't send us an angel or divine without human nature. God sent us His word that is designed, that is divine, in through our prophet or in our prophet, and He gave it to us. But the vessel that God deposited that into, just like us, just like us.
And the prophet himself evolved.
Yes, he did. He was already satisfying in God's presence as a human model. Human model. But he did not know revelation. He did not know scripture. So God caused him to ascend in his nature, to ascend up to a high level of purity, of innocence, and purity, and clarity. The seventh level, the level of our second father, Elohim, Abraham. And he went up there, and God carried him in a line of travel from the hour, which is the center for all mankind, in Islam. Others may not have that same symbol as their center, but for Muslims in our religion, the Kaaba, the house built by Abraham and his son, is their center. And God calls him to rise from that center, there, at that spot, up into the seventh heaven, where Abraham ascended, and is. And from there, he sent him a line of travel, and he was taken to the Far Mosque in Jerusalem, which is in the vicinity of the ruins of King Solomon, where Jews go daily to the Wailing Wall, moaning or weeping the loss of that great achievement on the planet Earth. And he returned from there. Now, mind you, at one point the prophet was leading his following in prayer, and they were facing Jerusalem. God didn't order it, but the prophet thought that would be proper, since that was the place of Moses, Solomon, Moses, place where great progress was made for community life on this matter.
If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive it in its entirety, you may call 708-862-7733 or visit wdmpublications.com. Ask for catalog number. For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, call 708-798-6750 or write Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, P.O. Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.